And He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our singing. He's worthy of our attention, our devotion. We come together once again this morning to hear from Him. This time, any elementary kids are welcome to be dismissed for the beginning of a children's worship time, Treehouse. And for all of us who remain right here, let me invite you to open up a Bible with me this morning to the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 14 today. We've been journeying through this particular book of the Bible, a book that recounts the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, settling into the promised land, the land in which the Savior would come, a land in which Jesus would be born, live His life, conduct His ministry, and ultimately give His life and be raised from the dead. And so we're leaning into that story. And as we've been trekking through the book of Joshua, Joshua is a book that recounts the Israelites finally getting to go into that land, to cross the Jordan River, and to enter into the promised land, the land of Canaan, a land described as flowing with milk and honey. And so they've done that now under Joshua's leadership. Moses is now gone. A generation has passed away. A new generation is entered into the land, and God has given them victory in the land again and again. And now we come to the portion of the book where the land begins to be divided up. First half of Joshua is detailing the conquest of the land, crossing into the land, experiencing the Lord's presence and provision and victory in the land. The second half of the book really details the land being divided up according to the various tribes. We'll move through the second half of the book at a faster pace than we have the first because, quite frankly, there's just some tough, repetitive chapters here that detail place after place after place, list place after place after place, and how those places were divided up among the people. And so each of the tribes is granted a portion of the land. And on the front end and the back end of those, two individuals are mentioned as receiving a portion of the land, and those are Caleb and Joshua. And so this morning we're going to read the text that recounts Caleb receiving a portion of the land and lean into what we can learn from it. So we're in Joshua chapter 14. I'll read verses 6 to 15. As you find your place there, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's holy word? Let's listen to what the Bible says. It says, "Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said.' And Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war." Would you bow with me? Well, Father, as we seek to understand your word, to hear from you, to be led by you, Lord, lead us to a place of rest and peace in Christ. Guide us now. Speak to us now for your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so we're 14 chapters into this book. 14 chapters in, and we meet Caleb. First time he's mentioned in the book of Joshua. We meet this guy, Caleb. Who's Caleb? You know, we spent time in the first chapter, the opening verses of Joshua, getting acquainted with Joshua. We noted that Joshua was Moses' aide. He was Moses' assistant. He was a military commander who became the successor of Moses. After Moses passed away, Joshua took the mantle of leadership as the human leader of the people of Israel. We also noted that Joshua was one of two spies of the previous generation that scouted out the promised land and came back with a report to the people. He was one of only two of the 12 who returned trusting the Lord, confident in the Lord, calling upon the people to indeed obey the command of the Lord and believe the promises of the Lord and go into the land. Caleb was the second spy who spoke up with confidence in the Lord. Joshua and Caleb calling upon the people to obey the Lord and to cross over, to go into the promised land. But the other 10's fear overshadowed Joshua and Caleb's faith, stirring up fear among the people, resulting in a generation that's now gone by of wilderness wanderings prior to the happenings of this book, the book of Joshua. And so unlike the rest of that particular generation, both Joshua and Caleb are held up in the Bible as models of faithfulness, whose servant leadership helps us see Jesus. Whose servant leadership helps us see Jesus. You see, God gives faithful servants to help us see Christ. I believe whenever we see a faithful servant in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, or in the church today, whenever we see faithful servants, they're meant to help us to see Christ. Sort of like a flashlight. Ever gone outside with a flashlight in the dark? Sure, you have. You know that not all flashlights are created equal. Some flashlights, particularly today, are particularly brighter and better and light up the way. But when you've got a really good flashlight, you don't sit and look into the light of the flashlight and admire the flashlight. No, you use the flashlight to see where you're going, to see the path ahead. And likewise, the faithful leadership, the faithful servant leadership of those that God has given are meant to lead us and help us to see the faithfulness of God, the God who has come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So who do you know? Who do you know whose servant leadership helps you see Jesus? I think that's an important question for us to ponder as we read a text like this. To remember those in our own faith journey whose faithfulness to God, whose humility before God, whose servant hearts before God are a model to follow, an example for us, an example. Caleb, you see, is an example to follow, meant to teach us that the God of Scripture is indeed worth following. That He is trustworthy. And He is worth living for, and He is worth bowing to. The Apostle Paul would say it this way. He says in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul could tell the church in Corinth, hey, look to me, follow me. Not for my sake. Follow me as long as I'm following Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. What we see is Christ honoring and commendable in the lives of Paul and Joshua and Caleb and other faithful servants of God were to emulate, being reminded by their example that God calls folks to follow Him completely. God is a God who calls folks to follow Him completely. Central to our faith is the profession that Jesus is Lord. We often ask our baptism candidates that. What is your confession? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. a master. To recognize that Jesus is Lord is to acknowledge that He's the Lord of all, that He's the Lord of everything. Is He the Lord of your life? It's to give Him all. Many of us have sung, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. I humbly at His feet I bow. I surrender all. See, Caleb recounts where he differed from his fellow scouts. Verse 8. He says, my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Twice more, you may have caught it, verses 9 and 14, Caleb is credited for following the Lord wholeheartedly, or fully, or completely. See, God calls folks to follow Him completely, to not hold back or to hold out or to shrink from faith in the God who saves, but to follow Him with all that we are, because He is trustworthy and He is mighty to save and He is worthy of our lives. I can't think of a greater compliment to give somebody at the end of their life. And for the ones that knew that one to say, you know what? He followed God wholeheartedly. She trusted the Lord completely. Even when others doubted. Even when others saw an impossibility, he or she put their faith in the living God. I had the opportunity this past week to be at a luncheon with Dr. Beck Taylor, who's the new president. I say new. He's been there a few years now. President of Samford University. I've never really been around Dr. Taylor just yet, but I was certainly struck by this man's humility, his faith, his love for the Lord. In fact, he brought a message to a group of pastors from the Scriptures. Did an excellent job just opening up the Word and talking about Jesus Christ. But before he got up to speak, there was an opportunity for us to worship through song together, to sing some Advent hymns. In the midst of that setting, we've just finished lunch, we're sitting around tables, and I just notice, he just sort of looks around and he just stands up, begins worshiping the Lord. Just bowing himself before the God, before the Lord, Most High, the God who saves, giving himself to the Lord, not to be noticed by others, but to surrender to the Lord. Oh, friends, may our lives be characterized by such surrender, giving ourselves completely, fully over to the God who saves. You know, next Sunday morning, our time together will incorporate recognizing God's call through the church on a couple men to serve in the church, in the office of deacon. Shane Aker and Vic Nickel be set aside next Sunday morning for the first time for that particular ministry, deacon ministry in this church. You've participated, church family, in recognizing them and others and noting Christ-like characteristics in their lives. And they've gone through a process of being interviewed and now brought to the church and for the first time set apart for that particular ministry role in the church. Likewise, today we kick off another step in our journey for leadership in our body of Christ. Today we open up for the first time elder nominations to you, church family, for the next several weeks. Like, you can find nomination forms with details about it at the welcome desk today. Be there for the next several weeks. An opportunity to prayerfully consider characteristics and leaders of our faith family who exemplify leadership qualities and humble servants for those that will be set aside as shepherds and overseers in a local body of Christ. And you'll notice there on that elder nomination form, the very first question that you're asked to answer is this nominee a Christ follower. In other words, this is what we're looking for more than anything else in deacons and elders and others in the church, men who love Christ and His bride. Right? More important than their popularity or their skills or their accolades or their knowledge is love for and faithful devotion to God, faithful servants who help us see Christ. See, when the rest of the team doubted God's promises, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, Caleb silenced the people before Moses. I don't know about you, but I wish I could have been there. I wonder, what did that look like? Here are people getting all worked up, anxious. They've heard a report about the dangers in the land, and they're ready to go back to Egypt, that is. And Caleb steps up, he silences the people, and he says, we should go up. What are we doing? Let's go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Confidence in the Lord, taking God at His word. Here's a man who's taking God at His word. Caleb trusted God, so he obeyed. He knew that God always keeps His promises, so even when everyone else doubted, even when the others compromised, Caleb's convictions, it's a key word there in verse 7. His convictions about God's character were so deeply rooted in his heart that he was able to stand on them. When everyone else fears the giants. Remember, we had our own version of the giants last week. When everyone else fears the giants living in the land, and begin doubting God's good promises, even ready to get rid of Moses. That's what the account says. Let's get rid of this guy. Let's choose another leader who will take us back where we came from. Let's go back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb speak up, Numbers chapter 14, verse 9, saying, only do not rebel against the Lord. Don't do it. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. They won't devour us. We will devour them. Why? Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Like, if you just want to read a good drama in the Bible, go home today or tonight and read Numbers 13 and 14, those two chapters together. It's incredible drama that recounts this particular story. The spies going to scout out the land, coming back, bringing the report. Some of them stirring up the rest of them. Hey, we can't do this. Right, the people's faith is so fickle that they even begin planning to stone Joshua and Caleb. So it says in Numbers 14, verse 10, until God intervenes with a display of His glory and He stops them. You see, Caleb's faith made no sense from a worldly angle, but he was trusting the God who's sovereign over the world. And since he trusted God with all his heart, he took God at His word, and he trusted the Lord's timing, trusting the Lord's timing, taking God at His word and trusting the Lord's timing. 45 years have passed. Did you catch that? Since Moses promised this land to Caleb. And no doubt Caleb has seen this place. He's seen Hebron, this area, this town that is given to him as an inheritance. He's seen it when he spied out the land, and he's been waiting on that inheritance since that day. For 4.5 decades, he's been living out the call of the psalmist in Psalm 27 to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Friends, waiting is hard. It's not easy. Perhaps you're in a season of waiting today. Maybe you're awaiting God's guidance. Maybe you're awaiting His provision. Maybe you're awaiting a job. Maybe you're awaiting the assurance of His love for you. Maybe you're awaiting the healing of a loved one. Or maybe you're even sensing you're near the end of your own life and you're awaiting your forever future with the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. In fact, consider Paul, who awaited the time of his own death. In fact, he He's writing to the church in Philippi. I think he's sensing that his end could be near. But he expresses his desire to continue on serving the Lord. Listen to what he writes. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, even in our waiting, church, let's trust the Lord's timing and let's continue serving Him. Or consider another biblical character, a model of faithfulness. Consider Simeon, somebody perhaps a little lesser known, an elderly man who had heard and believed the prophets concerning the coming Messiah. And the Spirit had revealed to him that he would not pass from this life until he had an opportunity to see the Savior, the Messiah who would come. And finally, one day, the Spirit tells Simeon that the time has come, prompting this man of faith to go into the temple courts where he encounters the newborn king. Luke chapter 2 says that Simeon took him, took baby Jesus. Simeon took baby Jesus in his arms and he praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You see, those who trust the Lord have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Simeon looked to the Savior and he was at peace. I think men like Joshua and Caleb could stand upon the promises of God's word because they trusted the Lord. They were at peace with God because their faith was in Him. You see, God said it, so they believed it. God said it, so Simeon believed it. God follows folks to follow Him completely, taking Him at His word and trusting the Lord's timing, even as they serve for His glory. Caleb trusted the Lord and he wanted the Lord to get all the glory for the good things that he did for his people. Friends, God blesses servants who humbly serve for his glory. God is a God who blesses servants who humbly serve for his glory. You see, like this chapter, Joshua 14, Numbers 14 speaks of Caleb's obedience, where God says of Caleb that Caleb has a different spirit. Not like those who doubted, disbelieved. He has a different spirit, God says, and follows me, same word here, wholeheartedly. As a result, God says, I will make sure he not only sees the good land again, but that his descendants inherit it. From every indication that we have in the word, Caleb was just as faithful as Joshua was. But consider that for a moment. Two men who trusted God. The only two of the 12 who scouted out the promised land and brought back a report of faith, calling the people to put their confidence in God, to obey the Lord. And yet God chooses Joshua to lead after Moses. It's not Caleb. Joshua leads, and Caleb serves behind him. You know, in the church, some become pastors and elders, some become deacons, some become missionaries, some become greeters, Sunday school teachers, cooks and nursery workers, but every one of them is meant to point us to Him. You see, our text begins with Caleb approaching Joshua as the leader of the people, saying, verse 10, Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Verse 12, Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised. Remember the Lord's promises. He promised me on that day, Joshua, you yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as He said. You were there, Joshua. You heard what the Lord said. Grant me the land and I'll take it, just as God said, for I know he's with me and that he'll help me face the giants in the land in such a way as to give him the glory. Church, God blesses his servants, folks like Joshua and Caleb who humbly serve for his glory. So let's thank God for Joshua's and Caleb's. Let's be a people of faith who thank God for Joshua's and Caleb's. Humble servants, the Lord has used to point you and to point me to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble servants who help us see the character of God revealed in the person of Christ. Let's thank God for Joshua's and Caleb's, for people whose humble service points us to the goodness of God. Some of you have even helped us remember them by naming your kids after them, right? Joshua's and Caleb's. And that's good. You don't hear anyone naming their kids Shemua or Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadis, Emiel, Sether, Nabis, or Guel. Those are the names of the other 10 spies, Numbers chapter 13. Right, we're not talking about perfection. Joshua wasn't perfect, Caleb wasn't perfect. We're not talking about perfection, but about faith. When it comes to faithful servants given by God, we're not talking about perfection, but about exemplary faith in the God who saves. And so as we consider, church, the gift of faithful servants who help us see the Lord Jesus Christ, let's be a people who prayerfully participate in deacon and elder nominations. As we think about leaders and servants in our own church context, let's be a people who participate in this as members of the church. You've done so when it comes to setting aside deacons, and we're going to set aside some next Sunday morning in a particular way for that office. Likewise, now you have the opportunity to do so when it comes to shepherds and overseers in the local body of Christ through elder nominations. Trusting God has given us men to serve for the church's good and his glory. And so next Sunday, we'll set aside and lay hands on Shane and Vic, thanking God for them, asking God to continue blessing them. And today, starting today, the members of this local body have the opportunity to nominate men of the church for the office of elder who you believe are exemplary models of faith given to us by God to help us see Christ. To help us see the Son of God who came to save by serving me and serving you. The Son of God and Son of Man. The one who said of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Oh, friends, the very Son of God, the eternal and almighty King of heaven, has come to give his life away for you and for me, that we might be at peace with God now and forevermore. God gives us faithful servants to help us see this one, to help us see Jesus Christ, the greatest servant of all. So Caleb's life, Joshua's life, any other faithful servant's life isn't meant to stir us to praise them. It's not about Caleb. It's not about Joshua. But to praise him. See, we're here this morning to praise the suffering servant king whose mission it was to bring us peace. So let's be a people who praise the prince who has come to give you peace. I'll praise the prince, the one described as the Prince of Peace, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's praise the one who has come to give us peace. Are you at peace today? So you can be at peace today through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to reconcile you to God, to restore you into right relationship with him, to know the living and eternal God, to be forgiven of your sins, to be adopted into his family, to be a citizen of his kingdom. You can be at peace now and forevermore by trusting in him. See, we look in all kinds of places for temporary peace, but there's only one place to find true and lasting peace. And that's by looking to Christ. So let's look to Christ this morning. Let's worship Christ today. Even as we respond, let's worship him. Let's praise the one who has come to pay our debt, to save us from our sins, to give us new and eternal life. Oh, Father, help us even now, right now, especially now, Lord, to praise you, to respond with faith and obedience, to respond with submission and praise, Lord, to respond with our hearts laid fully before you, following the example of those who have gone before us and giving ourselves to you wholeheartedly, completely, fully, our lives to the one who gave his life for us. Lord, hear our praise now as we worship Jesus, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.